This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good Monday morning. It's August 31st already, believe it or not. I don't know where August went. I don't even know where July went, for that matter. This summer seems to be going by very, very quickly. 2026, it's 80 degrees outside under clear, sunny skies at 7:06. If you want to be part of the show today, we'd love to hear from you. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. And we've sure got a lot we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in. An Elda cop and his wife are facing charges accused of exploiting an elderly person. Should cops be held to higher standards? You'll have a chance to weigh in on that one. A survivor of sexual assault is suing the Oklahoma County DA's office, accusing the office of silencing her. We'll talk about that one, too. One Oklahoma County jail trustee is opposing new rules for decorum because he says, and get this, black people express themselves differently. Often public comments during those trust meetings are filled with shouting and cursing. So what are your thoughts on this one? We definitely want to hear from you on that one. A program in Norman helping homeless people make a few bucks has been nixed. We'll be talking about that one in just a few minutes, too. But first, your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. An Elva police officer and his wife are facing charges of exploiting an elderly person in conspiracy. OSPI says the couple moved into an 82-year-old man's home back in 2023, and the officer was added to the man's bank accounts and given power of attorney. Investigators allege that he withdrew nearly $16,000 and transferred more than $25,000 to his wife through Cash App without the man's knowledge or consent. OSBI estimates the alleged financial exploitation exceeded $74,000. Both were arrested on Saturday, and the officer is now on administrative leave. Well, a sexual assault survivor is suing Oklahoma County District Attorney Vicki Behenna, accusing her office of retaliating against her for criticizing prosecutors. Mariah Norman says she was blocked from the DA's office on official Facebook page without warning, preventing her from commenting, tagging, or sharing posts. Norman says prosecutors also contacted her victim's advocate, allegedly trying to manage her public criticism. Her lawsuit argues that it's blocking her First Amendment rights, citing a 2024 U.S. Supreme Court ruling involving public officials and social media. The DA's office has not responded to the lawsuit. Well, a brand new report says Oklahoma is unlikely to see fraud on the same scale as Minnesota's child care scandal, but lawmakers are still raising concerns about oversight. The Legislative Office of Fiscal Transparency found more than $551,000 in child care subsidies were overpaid during a 12-month period, almost half of those tied to parents who intentionally provided inaccurate information. Loft says DHS is inconsistent in identifying criminal fraud and often fails to refer cases for prosecution. DHS Director Jeffrey Cartmell says the agency takes fraud seriously, but lawmakers question whether he has enough resources to investigate it. Well, the Oklahoma County Jail Trust is delaying a vote on its first ever set of bylaws after trustee Reverend Derek Scobie raised concerns about several provisions. Scobie says the proposed rules could give too much authority to the jail trust chairman and the jail administrator, including control over legal claims, agendas, and public statements. He also objected to proposed rules of decorum, saying they could unfairly limit how trustees and members of the public, specifically black members of the public, express themselves.
Wasn't planning on going this far, but I'm going to go this far. We as black pastors and many of us as African Americans, we're very demonstrative when we're describing what we're describing. We don't preach in a way, turn to Psalms 23. No, we hit it a different way. So what might be viewed as a lack of decorum for me may not very well be that. So what I'm not going to do is sit here and talk like a little mouse. I'm not going to be mealy mouth ever. So what is in here right now is all jacked up.
The trust voted on August 24th to delay consideration. Chairman Jim Holman says the bylaws have made significant progress and any problems can be corrected. There's a whole lot to unpack with that story. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. We definitely want your calls on that one, 405-608-4377, if you want to be part of that conversation, 405-608-4377. It's 80 degrees under clear skies at 710. Well, bad news for anybody hoping for a cool Labor Day weekend. Oklahoma's heat dome is expected to stick around into September. The National Weather Service says temperatures will remain well above normal, with most of the state reaching around 100 degrees this week. The Climate Prediction Center puts the odds at above average temperatures through September 10th through 70 to 80%. And with heat indexes occasionally reaching 110 degrees, health officials warn of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. They say extreme heat can be dangerous, even indoors or inside of vehicles. Well, a program giving homeless people in Norman temporary work, meals, and connections to housing and treatment is shutting down after the Oklahoma Attorney General's office denied additional funding. A Better Way, operated by Mental Health Association of Oklahoma, served 232 people in its first year. The program helped dozens access mental health services, jobs, and housing. One participant says the program literally saved her life by giving her a productive alternative to drugs and panhandling. The shutdown comes as Norman's homeless crisis worsens following multiple encampment sweeps and the temporary closure of the city's nighttime shelter. So let's talk a little bit about that one. And we definitely want your comments on this one, because homelessness is really becoming a huge issue here in the metro, especially in Norman. But we're seeing it throughout Oklahoma City, especially in the Bricktown area. It's really become a problem. So 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in on this one, 405-608-4377. So A Better Way may actually represent a better philosophy, I guess, for want of a better term, of homelessness assistance. So it doesn't just give somebody a government check. It actually gives them a reason to get up, work, earn money, and connect with different services. But the end goal should be independence, not making homelessness a permanent government program. The government's role should not be to write checks to homeless people. But if we can get homeless people actually up and working and give them an incentive and motivation to do so, and if that costs a couple extra bucks, I'm okay with that. It's very different from simply handing somebody money. A Better Way required participants to actually work. So they cleared up public spaces. They earned money for the day. They received a meal. And most importantly, they were connected with people who could help them find housing, treatment, especially mental health and addiction treatment, as well as permanent employment. But there is evidence that it helped several people move forward. And its first year, it was, I believe, 232 people participated. Dozens were connected with mental health or substance abuse services. 25 of those people found jobs. 17 were connected with housing. That's the kind of outcome that taxpayers should want to see from a program like this. But understand, too, if only 25 people found jobs and 17 were connected to housing, out of 232 people, that's not a very great number. But understand, too, that the program itself was still in its infancy. So they're still trying to work their way through it. They're still making mistakes. And you're dealing with a very volatile, very transient population. You're talking about people who sometimes you start to help them a little bit today, and then tomorrow they're gone. You don't even know where they are. So there's going to be a certain, probably very high failure rate to it, but still 25 and another 17 finding housing. It's not terrible for a program that's really still in its infancy. The personal success stories, those really matter too. Again, one participant said the program saved her life because it gave her something productive to do. It's an alternative to turning to drugs or illegal activity to survive. That's a pretty powerful argument that structured intervention can make a difference, but I could also make the argument, well, you shouldn't be doing drugs or illegal activity to survive in the first place. And there is plenty of help out there. There are a lot of programs here in Oklahoma to help the homeless and to help people who are struggling with poverty and people who are struggling with drug addiction. But sometimes you actually have to get up off your butt and look for those programs. There's an important distinction here. Helping somebody become employable, it's not really the same thing as the government employing them indefinitely. There's a difference here. The government's role should be to provide a bridge to stability, not become an employer of last resort. And again, if you want to weigh in on this, we want to hear from you. 405-608-4377 is the number that you want to dial. The private sector ultimately should be the ones providing the jobs here. If somebody is capable of working, the goal should be to help that person transition into a permanent job where they're actually earning a regular paycheck, developing skills, and becoming independent. That said, I also understand that some of these people right now are not employable because of their addiction issues, either whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever, and because of their mental health issues and because of their lack of stable housing. So what this does is it offers them an opportunity to make a few bucks, to get a meal, to find that stable housing, to get themselves whatever help and resources they need to get over their addiction and to deal with their mental health issues so that they do become employable. But this is never meant and should never mean to be a permanent thing for anybody. But it raises a legitimate question about the program. Was a better way designed as a temporary pathway to employment, or was it becoming a permanent government-funded jobs program? So if it's the former, it's much easier to justify. But we need to have some measurable results. So if the government's going to be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars here, there should be clear benchmarks. Exactly how many people got jobs? We know only 17 out of 225. How many obtained housing? We know that it was only 17. We don't know if that 17 was part of the 25 or not. But how many stayed employed? How long did they stay employed for? How many avoided returning to homelessness, returning to alcohol and drugs, returning to getting off their medication that they were on, and returning to issues they had, the mental health issues they had? So the worst outcome, though, obviously, is doing nothing. Simply cleaning up the homeless encampments like we've been seeing without providing any pathway to housing or treatment or employment doesn't really solve the underlying problem. It just moves people someplace else, and you wind up just playing whack-a-mole with homeless people. That's not the solution. There needs to be some level of personal responsibility. Government can provide a hand up, but it can't do the work of rebuilding somebody's life for them. Participants ultimately have to be responsible for choosing sobriety, choosing employment, choosing housing, and choosing stability. Well, coming up after the break, I definitely want your take on this one. Like we talked about, an Elva police officer and his wife are accused of exploiting an 82-year-old man. OSBI says the officer had access to the guy's bank accounts and power of attorney, then allegedly withdrew nearly $16,000 and transferred about $25,000 more to his wife. So investigators estimate the alleged exploitation exceeded $74,000. What do you think about this? Should cops be held to a higher standard? As many of you know, when I'm not playing talk show host, I'm the public information officer and a deputy for the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office. So this may surprise you, but I think cops should be held to a higher standard and should face harsher consequences when they break the law. I'll explain coming up after the break, and we'll take your calls on it too. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377. It's 80 degrees and sunny at 719. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit ServiceProOKC.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic. Got a couple of construction issues to watch out for. Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly. May and Northwest Expressway. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen. Buckle up and drive careful.
Set a button and tell all your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell the world about this station in Oklahoma letting freedom ring with 100,000 watts of power. The new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com.
Tired of hard water stains, cloudy dishes, dry skin, and mineral buildup? You don't have to call the water company. Your local experts at Service Pro Plumbing install quality water softener systems that help protect your plumbing, extend the life of your appliances, and leave your water feeling better throughout your home. Better water starts with one call. What are you waiting for? Call Service Pro Plumbing or visit ServiceProOKC.com right now.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's four times stronger than traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part, our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor is ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no-obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Hi, this is Major Meredith with the Oklahoma City Fire Department. Sudden cardiac arrest can happen to anyone, anywhere, and immediate action can save a life. Our hands-only CPR class teaches you how to recognize cardiac arrest, call 911, and perform effective chest compressions until firefighters or first responders arrive. No medical background is needed, just the willingness to help. Visit okc.gov/fire for more information on how to schedule free training for your business, group, or organization.
It's a double celebration of freedom. The American spirit meets the open road in 2026. We honor 250 years of our nation and 100 years of Route 66. Your voice for freedom is right here. Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. It's Brian Kilmeade.
This may be the biggest blue threat that Texas has seen, but they're going to spend a ton of money trying to resuscitate Paxton, and they didn't have to had the president chosen to just endorse John Cornyn, the sitting senator.
No question. Ken Paxton, too. At the very least, you got to hustle. That's one thing the president doesn't usually tolerate when you don't try.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. Going to be another hot one. You were thinking that just because August is ending, things are going to start cooling off, right? Wrong. Today we're going to see breezy and hot conditions with a high of 100 degrees. Going to feel like a convection oven out there. Tonight, clear skies, low of 72. On Tuesday, sunny and hot with a high of 100. Then on Wednesday, sunny and hot, high of 99 degrees. It's 80 degrees and sunny at 723. An Elva police officer and his wife are accused of exploiting an elderly man. OSBI says the officer had the power of attorney and access to the 82-year-old's accounts, allegedly taking about $16,000 and sending another $25,000 to his wife. Investigators say the alleged financial exploitation topped $74,000, so both of them are in jail right now. The officer's on leave. What do you think? When cops break the law, should they be held to a higher standard? And should they face harsher consequences when they break the law? Now, despite being a guy who carries a badge myself, I say absolutely yes. But I want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in. 405-608-4377. The scales of justice are supposed to be even. So all people are supposed to be treated equally under the law. But I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I believe the people who write the laws and those who uphold the laws should face harsher penalties when they break those laws, because they're the ones who know the laws better than anybody else. And they're the ones who should respect the law more than anybody else. And when they violate the law, it's not just a violation of the law, it's a violation of our trust. And they should be held to a higher standard. So public trust is part of the job. Police officers are given an enormous amount of authority. They're expected to protect vulnerable people. When an officer is accused of exploiting an elderly person like this guy did, it undermines that trust in a particularly serious way. So the badge should be an aggravated factor. It shouldn't be a shield. We hear about badges all the time as being a shield. It shouldn't be a shield. An officer knows the law, understands the criminal justice system, and has access to authority that ordinary citizens simply don't have. That creates a heightened responsibility to obey the law. 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in on this. 405-608-4377. That same principle, in my opinion, applies to lawmakers too. Legislators, they write the laws that everyone else is expected to follow. So if somebody helps to make the rules for society and then deliberately breaks those rules, the public has every single right to demand accountability. Deanne's joining us now from Midwest City. Good morning, Deanne. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm fantastic. Good to hear from you. It's been a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, and you were gone. You can't do that to us again.
Oh, thank you. You're a sweetheart. What do you think? Cops and legislators be held to a higher standard?
I honestly think it depends on the crime. You know how we have some 85 percenters? that have to, they have, well, that's in DOC. They have to serve 85% of their sun and come hell or high water.
Correct.
But I think it depends on the crime, like going after the elderly and some animals and things that are somewhat fragile and defenseless. Mm-hmm. I think it ought to be higher in that regard.
And that's fair enough. So something as simple as running a red light or speeding or something that you're doing on your own time that you probably
shouldn't. Well, you're getting me there. No, I'm afraid they got to take their lumps like everybody else.
But should they be held to a higher regard? Should they be fined more?
Like I say, I'd really have to look at case by case.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they don't have time to do that. I think they ought to just have some, I don't know, not to a higher standard, I don't think, except in some instances. So I guess what I'm saying is I have no idea.
In a roundabout sort of way, that's what we hit on.
See, exactly.
I'll tell you, and thanks, Deanne, for calling. I appreciate you. And I certainly appreciate, Deanne's got just a huge heart. Her heart is about as big as South Carolina. And so she's always trying to give people the benefit of the doubt, and I certainly appreciate that. I'm not as nice as Deanne. I believe that, again, if you're a lawmaker or you're a police officer, you should be held at a higher standard. And subsequently, when you break the law, you should be facing harsher penalties. Higher standards, don't get me wrong here. Higher standards don't mean abandoning due process. An accusation is not a conviction. Police officers, elected officials, everybody else is entitled to a fair investigation or a fair trial. But if that misconduct is proven, their position of trust should be considered when they're determining consequences. So there should be consequences beyond the criminal penalty when appropriate. A conviction can mean jail or fines, but a person who abuses public authority, they should also face professional consequences, for example. So loss of certification, removal from office, permanent disqualification from certain positions, depending upon the offense and the law. Robert's calling from Lexington this morning. Good morning, Robert. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Fantastic. I think it should be the higher standard, like you said, and not just for them, but anyone in a position of power, like a priest or these coaches that take advantage of the kids that are on their team. It's just sickening. They're con men at heart, and they need to have the book thrown at them. I didn't catch the town where that man was an officer.
Elda.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll just throw the book at them. They deserve it.
I'm 100% with you, man. And I understand the counter argument that if there are more consequences, we're less likely to get good cops come in, less likely to have people apply for jobs, less likely to have people run for election. My attitude is if they're going to be committing crimes anyhow, I don't necessarily want them in there. Robert, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. I appreciate you. Well, coming up, we still have a whole bunch we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in. Remember that big leak in El Reno that shut down schools and risked water pressure levels? Officials finally found the source, and you're going to be very surprised to find out who's responsible for that one. A Norman program to help homeless people earn enough money through jobs and temporary work is being shut down. Should the government be providing jobs or a pathway to them? We'll talk about that one. And also, we'll get your public comments on other stuff. 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. Iran and the U.S. swapped attacks for the first time in over a month overnight. Search and rescue efforts are ongoing in Nepal as the death toll from last week's catastrophic flooding has risen to 800. Two people are dead, nine others wounded after a mass shooting in Trenton, New Jersey, early Sunday. President Trump expects gas prices to drop because of a new oil deal with Venezuela.
Trump announced Friday the United States has secured majority control of over 65 million barrels of oil in Venezuela and will substantially lower gas prices for all Americans. I'm Rob Martier.
Republican Steve Hilton believes his chances of being elected California's next governor are improving. The man accused of killing conservative activist Charlie Kirk wants cameras kept out of the courtroom. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute.
I once represented a little boy seriously injured in a crash caused by a speeding driver. And when I visited the family's home, his baseball glove was sitting by the front door. His dad told me he hadn't touched it since the wreck. Before the crash, that kid lived for baseball. After the crash, well, he's learned how to walk again. That's the part people don't see after catastrophic injuries. It's not just about the hospital bills. It's missed childhoods, missed memories, missed pieces of life families can never get back. One careless decision on the road can permanently alter another family forever. At McIntyre Law, we fight for families carrying burdens they never asked for because somebody else chose recklessness over responsibility.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
I'm Noble McIntyre, and that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. An Oklahoma City woman is warning others after discovering her storage unit had been burglarized along with several others at a local storage facility. She says she lost about $10,000 worth of property, including electronics, furniture, and multiple family heirlooms. Police investigating the matter found numerous units with broken locks and signs that people may have been staying inside some of the storage spaces. The owner says she's been unable to get answers from the facility's management and claims the owner lives out of state. Investigators continue to look into the break-ins, and no arrests have currently been announced. A free dental care event is once again helping Oklahoma veterans receive much-needed treatment. Oklahoma Family Dentistry and the Implant Surgery Center recently brought back Freedom Dental Day after a pause during the pandemic. Veterans were able to receive services including fillings, crowns, extractions, bridges, and implants at no cost. Organizers said the event is their way of thanking those who served and ensuring they receive quality care. Providers are hoping to expand the program and serve even more veterans next year. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
There's a lot of noise out there, especially when it comes to Medicare. Plans, options, fine print, it's enough to make anyone second guess. That's where Health 65 comes in. We simplify Medicare, explain your options clearly, and we help choose a plan that makes sense for your life, not someone else's. No guesswork, no confusion, just real answers from real people right here in Edmond. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65. Call us or visit us online at health65.com. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Red, White, and Boots. Mustang Western Days 2026, September 11th and 12th. With events and activities for all ages. Kids can enjoy the Stampede Fun Run, Parade, Pet Show, Best Dressed Cowboy and Cowgirl Contest, Art Show, games and activities at Wild Horse Park. New this year, the Jelly Ball. Also, the Mustang Roundup Club IPRA Rodeo on both nights on the 11th and 12th, 8 o'clock. And more with the 5K Fun Run, Car Show, Chuck Wagon Roundup, Vendor Booths, Chili Cook-Off, plus live entertainment at Wild Horse Park. It's a weekend of good family entertainment. For more information, visit MustangWesternDays.com.
Hey, it's Flo here to say drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds.
Nice. With my new savings, I'll get some hiking gear. It'll be great for my outdoor era.
I don't know if it counts as an era if you just buy stuff.
I got a cute hiking backpack. It's an outdoor era.
Well, you only bought one thing. I don't think it's an era.
Well, I think we're in a agree to disagree era.
Yeah, sure, you're probably right. Anyway, with the money you could save by switching to Progressive, you can afford to switch to other things in life. It's
my savings era.
Also, everything you do is not an era.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 28th through September 9th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Freedom.
Weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be breezy and hot with plenty of sunshine reaching a high of 100 degrees. Tonight will be clear with a low of 72. Tomorrow expect sunny and toasty conditions with a high again of 100 degrees. As we move into Wednesday, it will be mostly sunny and hot with a high of 99 degrees. Thursday will bring sunny and toasty conditions once more with a high of 99 degrees. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And a good morning. Welcome back. Going to be a hot one today. Already 80 degrees outside and sunny at 736. Wait a second. There's the hotline. Let me grab that real quick. My apologies. Hang on just a second. Hi, Freedom 96.9.
Hey, Aaron. Mr. Haney, you know, I just called because I heard a cow tell a joke.
A cow?
It was utterly terrible. Then the cow just up and walked away. It was past your bedtime.
Past your bedtime.
Hey.
Okay, Mr. Haney. Let's check out your Freedom First News headlines now on Freedom 96.9. Well, more than 3 million gallons of water were lost from a private fire hydrant on property owned by Athlon Blockchain Technology, draining the Lake El Reno water tower and creating major supply problems. The site houses mobile data centers used for AI and Bitcoin mining. City officials say they found multiple violations there, including a failed water line, drainage and maintenance problems, expired building permits, and no final certificate of occupancy. The leak was discovered after water levels dropped on Wednesday, prompting a ban on outdoor watering and free bottled water for residents. A sexual assault survivor is suing Oklahoma County District Attorney Vicki Behenda, accusing her office of retaliating against her for criticizing prosecutors. Mariah Norman says she was blocked from the DA's official Facebook page, preventing her from commenting, tagging, or sharing posts. She also claims prosecutors contacted her victim's advocate, allegedly trying to discourage her from criticism. Norman's lawsuit argues the blocking violates her First Amendment rights, citing a 2024 U.S. Supreme Court ruling involving public officials and social media. The DA's office has not responded. Oklahoma City police are investigating a stabbing near Southeast 44th and I-35 late Saturday night. Officers say a motorcyclist cut in front of another driver at an intersection, leading to an altercation. Police say the motorcyclist pulled out a knife and stabbed the driver multiple times in the arm, underarm, and side. The motorcyclist was arrested at the scene and was also treated for injuries from the fight. The driver was taken to a nearby hospital and is listed in stable condition. Well, a new report says Oklahoma is unlikely to experience fraud on the scale of Minnesota's child care scandal, but lawmakers still have concerns about oversight. The legislature's Office of Fiscal Transparency found more than $551,000 in child care subsidies were overpaid during a 12-month period, nearly all tied to parents providing inaccurate information. Loft says DHS is inconsistent in identifying criminal fraud and often doesn't refer cases for prosecution. DHS Director Jeffrey Caldwell says that the agency takes fraud very seriously, but lawmakers question whether it has enough resources to investigate. Bad news for anybody hoping for a cool Labor Day weekend this weekend. Oklahoma's heat dome is expected to stick around into September. The National Weather Service says temperatures will remain well above normal, with most of the state reaching about 100 degrees this week. The Climate Prediction Center puts the odds of above average temperatures through September 10th at 70% to 80%, with the heat indexes occasionally reaching 110 degrees. Health officials warn about heat exhaustion and heat stroke. They say extreme heat can be dangerous, even indoors or inside of vehicles. Well, a program giving homeless people in Norman temporary work, meals, and connections to housing and treatment is shutting down after the Oklahoma Attorney General's office denied additional funding. A Better Way served 232 people in its first year, helping dozens to access mental health services, jobs, and housing. One participant says the program literally saved her life by giving her a productive alternative to drugs and panhandling, but the program is now ending as Norman's homeless crisis continues following multiple encampment sweeps and temporarily closing down the city's night shelter. The Oklahoma County Jail Trust is delaying a vote on its first ever set of bylaws after trustee Reverend Derek Scobie raised concerns. Scobie says the proposed rules could give too much authority to the chairman and the jail administrator, including control over legal claims, agendas, and public statements. He's also objecting to proposed rules of decorum, saying they would unfairly restrict how trustees and members of the public, get this, specifically black members, express themselves.
Wasn't planning on going this far, but I'm going to go this far. We as black pastors and many of us as African Americans, we're very demonstrative when we're describing what we're describing. We don't preach in a way, turn to Psalms 23. No, we hit it a different way. So what might be viewed as a lack of decorum for me may not very well be that. So what I'm not going to do is sit here and talk like a little mouse. I'm not going to be mealy mouth ever. So what is in here right now is all jacked up.
The trust voted to delay consideration. Chairman Jim Holman says the bylaws have made significant progress and any problems can be corrected. And man, there's a lot to unpack here, and we want to get to it and get your take on it, too. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial, 405-608-4377. The most offensive part of this debate is the racial implication here. So if the argument is rules of decorum need to be applied differently because black people supposedly express themselves in a different or more demonstrative way, according to Reverend Scobie, that's a troubling standard for a government meeting. Decorum should be colorblind. The expectation should be the same for every trustee and every member of the public. You can be passionate, you can be angry, you can be loud, you can be critical, but you still got to follow the rules here. I remember my first day of work at the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office. The sheriff, Sheriff Tommy Johnson III, had just been sworn in, and then immediately the two of us went over to the jail trust meeting. And he was berated. They swore at him. They attacked his family. They attacked his race. They called him Uncle Tommy. And the entire thing ended with a fist fight. What kind of decorum is that? And how do you excuse that based on the color of somebody's skin? That's inexcusable behavior. And it's not uncommon for any of these jail trust meetings when you watch them to see people getting up there and berating jail trust members and yelling at them and swearing at them and cussing at them. You wouldn't want to bring a child into this environment. And I understand when adults have adult conversations, sometimes they throw around some F-bombs, but this is just ridiculous. We want to hear from you from this one, 405-608-4377. Being passionate's not a problem. Nobody says that people shouldn't be forceful when talking about the jail. God knows the jail's got more than its fair share of problems here, but there's a difference between passionate advocacy and shouting people down and personal attacks, attacks on people based on their color, attacks on people's families, on their small children, or disrupting a public meeting. Government meetings need to have rules precisely because emotions do run high. The jail is an enormously important issue. People absolutely should have the opportunity to criticize the trustees, to criticize their decisions, to criticize the way the jail is being operated, definitely to criticize that new tax that they're proposing, but that doesn't mean there should be basic standards of conduct, that people shouldn't treat people like human beings. And here's the bigger institutional problem, and this is insane to me. How is it this trust has operated for years without bylaws? The Criminal Justice Authority was created back in 2019, if memory serves. If bylaws are required by law and contemplated by the trust's founding documents, why did it take until now, 7 years later, for the basic rules of this organization to operate to finally be discussed? This isn't a minor administrative oversight. Bylaws establish who has authority in a given organization, how decisions are made, how meetings operate, and what limits exist on individual officials. Going for years without them creates opportunities for confusion, for conflict, for disputes over authority. And guess what? We've seen that time and time and time and time again with the jail trust, where we've seen basically a great big revolving door in the front, where we've had some really, really good people people who are business leaders, people who have extensive backgrounds and corrections, like Joe Albaugh, for example, who just finally say, you know what, the hell with it. I've had enough. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm out of here. You people deal with this. And as a result, we're seeing more and more people with very little experience getting on the board. The jail already has had disputes over who has the authority to make certain decisions. The controversy over jail employee pay raises, for example, is a great example of why clear rules are necessary. You had the jail, without the knowledge of the jail trust, go ahead and offer raises to jail employees. The jail made the argument that the only way we're going to get decent people is if we pay them decent. That's a valid argument, but there should be a procedure. There should be a chain of custody in order to do that. There should be somebody reporting to somebody before you're writing paychecks using government using taxpayer money. And that didn't happen. And part of the reason that didn't happen is because it's not in the bylaws. Why? Because the bylaws don't exist and never have existed in the 7 years that this trust has been in place. The trustees should not be fighting over the rules after the fact. They should have established those rules before the trust was even created, or at least recognized much sooner that operating indefinitely without them was unacceptable. So what are your thoughts on this? 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377. The trustees should not be fighting over rules after the fact. They should have established those rules way back when the trust was created, back in 2009, or at least 2019 rather, or at least recognized much sooner that operating indefinitely without them is unacceptable. There's also a legitimate concern concentrating authority. Scobie's objections regarding the chairman and the jail administrator deserve serious consideration, but the answer isn't to abandon bylaws. It's to write bylaws that clearly preserve the authority and the oversight of the board and who's responsible for what. So coming after the break, let's talk about the woman who is likely the most hated person in Oklahoma right now, Sarah Paulston. She's the wife of a prominent attorney and huge fundraiser to Governor Kevin Stitt, who served only 73 days of an 8-year sentence for a DUI crash that severely injured a woman. Now Paulston is fighting a new law, rather, that could send her back to prison after she was given a sweetheart deal, a deal that she got after Governor Stitt made several calls on her behalf and then later lied about doing it. Sarah Paulston argues that the law is unconstitutional. She was released on electronic monitoring after a crash that left 20-year-old Michaela Barrigo with serious injuries, life-changing injuries. We'll talk a bit about that after the break. Paulston was sentenced before the law was signed, so should she go to prison or should she serve her entire sentence in her posh home surrounded by luxury while Michaela and her family continue suffering because of Paulston's irresponsibility? We want to hear from you after the break on this one. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. It's 80 degrees and sunny at 748. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic. Got a couple of construction issues to watch out for. Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly. May and Northwest Expressway. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen. Buckle up and drive careful.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
When you give to OMRF, you're fueling medical research in the fight against cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, and more. And you can receive an Oklahoma tax credit of up to $2,000. Donate today at omrf.org.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's 4 times stronger than traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part? Our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor's ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no-obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Tired of hard water stains, cloudy dishes, dry skin, and mineral buildup? You don't have to call the water company. Your local experts at Service Pro Plumbing install quality water softener systems that help protect your plumbing, extend the life of your appliances, and leave your water feeling better throughout your home. Better water starts with one call. What are you waiting for? Call Service Pro Plumbing or visit ServicePROOKC.com right now.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m.
And I'm so tired of hearing women complain about motherhood. Every other human on earth that has ever raised or given birth to children has had it tough. You are no different in society or in any timeline. This victimhood complex is ruining society.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brilbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. So you thought that the end of August meant the end of all this heat that we're seeing? Wrong. Today we're going to see breezy hot conditions with a high of 100 degrees. Tonight, clear with a low of 72. On Tuesday, sunshine and hot with a high of 100. Then on Wednesday, sunny and hot, high of 99 degrees. This heat dome ain't going no place. 80 degrees and sunny at 752. We were just talking a little bit about the jail trust and how after, what, 7-8 years now, they still don't have any bylaws in place. Terry's from Oklahoma City, and he's joining us live. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing fine. I used to work down there a long time ago at the county jail when the sheriff's office ran it.
Yep.
And when the jail trust took over, they were criticizing the sheriff, and I think it was Wetzel at the time when they took over, and they was criticizing him and his need for money and need for money. And the first thing they did when they took over, they said, we need more money.
Right.
And this this county jail was run better when the sheriff had it, and it was just run better. You had better people. They knew what they were doing, and yes, it had problems. The architecture of the building causes problems.
Yep.
But what good did the jail trust do when they came in and took over? I can't see any improvement. I just think it needs to go back to the sheriff's office.
Yep, I agree with you. And, you know, Wetzel, he'd been saying for years, it's not a management issue. It's an issue with the infrastructure of the building. And it turns out he was 100% right. That building is not fixable. It does need to be replaced. Terry, thanks so much for joining us, man. I appreciate you. Let's talk a bit. We've got a few minutes left. Let's talk a bit about Sarah Polston. She's the woman at the center of one of Oklahoma's most controversial criminal justice cases right now. She served only 73 days of an 8-year sentence for a DUI crash that severely injured 20-year-old Michaela Barrigo. Michaela was actually in a coma for longer than Polston was in jail. Let that set in for a second. She was in a coma longer than the person who put her there was in jail. So Polston's husband, his political connections to Governor Stitt became part of the controversy surrounding her early release. Now a new law could send Polston back to prison. She's arguing that law is unconstitutional. What are your thoughts? Should she go back to prison, or should she remain on electronic monitoring in her posh, gorgeous mansion while Michaela and her family suffer through all that they're suffering through? We want to hear from you right now. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. This woman has shown almost zero remorse. Her sole focus has been on her. Can she get a more comfortable cell? Can she get out of jail early? Can the governor give her a pardon? Just zero responsibility whatsoever for the crash that caused the lives that she impacted to change forever. Michaela will, for the rest of her life, she'll need round-the-clock care. Her dreams are gone. Her dreams of a career are gone. Her dreams of having her own family are gone. Her parents' dreams of her having a career, getting married, having children, all gone because of Polston's irresponsible decision to drive drunk. And not just a little bit drunk here. So she ran several stop signs before she slammed into Michaela. She was driving 66 miles per hour at a 25-mile-an-hour zone. She was twice the legal limit. Her blood alcohol content was 0.158 while going to pick up her own kids at school. She was wasted at trying to pick up her own kids at school. We're not talking about some rich mom who had a couple of mimosas after her tennis lesson with the gals here. She was loaded, and police found an empty, uncorked 750-milliliter bottle of tequila inside her vehicle. According to the police report, she initially denied that she was drinking alcohol. Then she told investigators, yeah, she might have made a couple of margaritas at lunch, because who doesn't have a couple of margaritas at lunch, right? And then she stopped at the liquor store, but she denied drinking that empty tequila bottle that was found in her vehicle. It probably just evaporated, even though it was capped and bought the same day. And yeah, according to jail phone recordings, she explicitly asks about getting, quote, special treatment after being sentenced to 8 years. She asked her husband, who's an attorney, think I'll have any kind of special treatment, baby? And her husband responded he's going to do everything he can to try to help her get that special treatment. Her husband talks about working the system, his words, from the top, tells her, I'm going to try every way that I can. Says that she needs to behave while he works on things, again, quote, from the top. That's pretty powerful evidence of an expectation that his political connections with Governor Stitt could make her incarceration a little bit different than if you and I went to jail and did the exact same thing. So they discussed getting her moved out of county jail through political connections. Her husband, Rod, tells her that the guy, quote unquote, likely Governor Stitt, is working on getting her moved. And then later on, the state pushed it from the top, his words, that she was transferred to Mabel Bassett Correctional Center shortly afterwards. So got a bit more of a cushy type of a jail cell than she had before. They discussed a possible pardon. The calls included a discussion of what they called the, quote, P word, apparently referring to a pardon or related executive relief of some sort. Rod talked about whether the pardon and parole board served at the governor's pleasure and whether the governor could tell the board what to do. So this is disgusting on multiple levels. And keep in mind, this isn't about revenge. It's about accountability. A judge imposed an 8-year sentence on this woman because of the seriousness of what she had done. 73 days later, she's back at home in her nice, cushy mansion. Meanwhile, the victim and her family have to live with the consequences of that crash every single day. If the law allows her to be returned to prison, that's where she should be. Justice can't mean one set of rules for people with connections and another set of rules for schlubs like you and me. Sarah Polston was sentenced to 8 years for a reason. There wasn't a technical violation, or it's not a victimless offense. She was convicted of a DUI crash that left a 23-year-old woman, a girl, a kid in my opinion, severely injured. The underlying conduct was extraordinarily serious. Again, BAC 0.158, empty tequila bottle found inside of her vehicle. This is a dangerous decision that had devastating consequences, and they're consequences that she should be paying for. And shame on Governor Stitt for stepping in and trying to help her. And shame on Governor Stitt for later lying about it to you and me when he did an interview with KOCO about it. There's plenty of shame and plenty of grossness to go around on this story, and it's not going to be going anyplace anytime soon. Well, thank you for joining us on this Monday, August 31st on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.